Welcome to Plastics Unwrapped, a series supported by Dow, the materials science company. I'm your host, Maitri Sitharaman. In this podcast, we're on the hunt for solutions to some of the toughest challenges facing the plastics industry. I'll be joined by my producer, Lisa Desai.
Hey, everyone.
She's the woman with all the facts and figures we're going to be talking about. We're going to try and have some seriously honest conversations with guests from across sectors and from across the world. So let's together figure out what it'll really take to save the future of our planet. Last time on Plastics Unwrapped, we dove into the world of artificial intelligence, its power moves, its blind spots, and how it's helping, or not, with global challenges like climate change and plastic waste. But today, we're asking, is AI really the whole story of the future, or is there something bigger brewing on the horizon?
You might all feel threatened. You might see the future as this kind of risky place that you don't necessarily understand. And you might see the future as something that's being done to you.
The voice you heard is of Matthew Griffin, founder and futurist in chief of the 311 Institute, and known around the world as a walking encyclopedia of the future. Matthew's got the lowdown on the game-changing trends reshaping industry, from AI to synthetic biology to nanotech. He is the guy global leaders turn to when they need to know what's next. Matthew Griffin, it is brilliant to have you on the show. Welcome.
Hey, well, thank you very much. That's it. Great to be here.
According to you and all I have read about you, you say you have only one mission: to democratize access to the future for everyone and provide them with the mindset and tools to shape it. I think the plastics industry is going to be a real beneficiary of that mindset. So tell us, in short, what is the future looking like at this point? And is AI the one thing we should all be focused on, or is there something else?
No, so that's a great starting question. And the fact you actually said simplify it, I see it's so if we simplify the future, then it's increasingly volatile, it's increasingly complex, and it's increasingly sci-fi like. That's it. And the rate of change is also accelerating. That's the simple version. But the fact is, when we have a look at, say, the different technologies and trends out there, artificial intelligence obviously dominates a lot of top of mind thinking for people. I think part of that is it's emotive and emotional, because all of a sudden we're confronted by machines that we are increasingly being told think like us, act like us, copy us, and then outperform us. You know, whereas when we actually have a look at a lot of the other technologies out there, which are equally powerful, if not in some cases more powerful, like synthetic biology, no one's really talking about synthetic biology or 3D printing. When we actually have a look at things from a technological sphere, it's very difficult to say that AI doesn't dominate the conversation and won't for quite some years to come.
You talk about synthetic biology. We're talking about things like bioplastics and many other forms of materials that are being developed at this point that hopefully will address some of the climate change issues. You've been kind of involved in that world as well for a while. What are some of the trends that you're seeing when it comes to the use of AI or any of these other technologies that you're talking about, and how that impacts all that we're trying to see and do when it comes to climate change?
Yeah, so really, when you have a look at climate change, the fact of the matter is we have the technologies that we need on the truck today to eliminate between 80 to 90% of all global greenhouse gas emissions. Now, those technologies, you know, when we have a look at the materials space, yeah, we have carbon negative and carbon neutral concretes that are emerging. You know, a lot of these are in different states of maturity, and that's really one of the challenges. And then the next challenge that we have is deploying these technologies at scale. So, for example, you know, as I say, we have new concretes that are coming through that could help eliminate 8% of all global greenhouse gas emissions. When we have a look at renewable energy, we all know about solar panels. But if we combine artificial intelligence with nanotechnology, with 3D printing, we are 3D printing solar panels using a technology called black silicon that are 132% energy efficient. Now, if you're looking at things like carbon capture technologies, that is stunning. And then if we really want to flip to the heavy industry side of the fence, which is, again, where we have about 15% of all global greenhouse gas emissions, then obviously we've got technologies like mini nuclear reactors. We've got hydrogen, which is, again, influenced by artificial intelligence for a variety of different ways. We have the technologies to solve a lot of the world's problems, but they can take capital to deploy. They need to mature. So those are the big problems there. But fundamentally, you know, as we saw with COP28, one of the biggest problems that we actually have is some of the problems like global poverty. We can solve global poverty, require a human input. And actually, there's quite a lot of problems that are caused by human behavior.
Wow.
So, and then on top of all of that, what we are now seeing is in the research community, which on the one hand is interesting, but also concerning, around the world, the vast majority of artificial intelligence researchers are at the point where they say, we believe we are no longer inventing artificial intelligence. We are now discovering what it does. These are fundamentally new kinds of machines. But in addition to that, you know, when we start really trying to dig under the skin of a lot of these machines per se, explainable artificial intelligence isn't happening. We've seen them making up their own languages. We've seen AIs already evolving, optimizing their own code, developing new AIs. And as we forward look to the future of artificial intelligence agents, one of the new risks that we're picking up is that as these AI agents collaborate with one another to do something, they will talk to one another in their own made-up languages, let alone encrypt that communication, and we won't have a clue what they're actually doing.
If you want to have a clue, Matthew, if these things are growing as fast and as quickly as we know they are, and we've gone from creating to learning what they can do, how smart are these AI models going to get? I mean, we are on plastics unwrapped, so we have a plastic waste problem. Can I put a question to AI now or when? Can I ask an AI model to say, create me a plastic that will not negatively impact the environment or, you know, potentially keep everybody healthy and still be part of the plastics industry? Is that even possible now or will it take a few years?
So it's possible now. It's kind of leading edge. Now, to give you some examples, you know, when we have a look at the speed of discovery, increasingly artificial intelligence is being used not just to discover new things like new materials, et cetera, et cetera, but they're also being used to innovate new things. So we can already use artificial intelligence along with quantum computers to make new vaccines in 7 minutes, rocket engines in 6 hours, new trainers and fashion items in a couple of hours. Now, on the materials side of the fence, we recently saw artificial intelligence produce 380,000 new compounds, which, to put it into context, is more than 800 years worth of human discovery. And those 380,000 new compounds were put into the U.S. Department of Energy's newish, open source materials database. So everyone can start using that as a model. Now, in addition to that, we also saw artificial intelligence create 2.2 million new material types. 41 of those were novel materials, but it did it in 17 days. And while there are some questions, by say, over the accuracy of the findings and whether the materials that AI created are truly new and novel, the fact of the matter is, within 17 days, an AI created 2.2 million new material candidates. We have already had a significant glimpse at just how impactful artificial intelligence could become when it comes to helping us to design new plastics.
It's across different sectors and in different ways, and climate research is one of them where AI can really help us, you know, analyze and summarize it. if AI is still learning and data is absolutely critical in its learning process, and you've got so much climate research that we don't know what to do with all the data that's coming at us, how do we make sure that the research that's coming out from all these AI models that are talking to each other, whether it's about plastic waste in the ocean or whether it's about carbon emissions, how do we make sure that research is accurate, believable, and we can go back and make policy with it?
Yeah, so it's a great question. When we have a look at climate science, you know, it's no secret that the amount of climate research papers that are being produced now is hundreds of times greater than it was even a few years ago. So on the one hand, from a scientific perspective and a policy and regulatory perspective, the problem that we have is there's just a ton of content and we can't read it all, which then means we need to lean heavier on artificial intelligence to identify it, summarize it, and, you know, tell us what's going on. Now, a little while ago, about 8 months ago, there was an artificial intelligence large language model created called Climate GPT. Now, Climate GPT is exclusively designed to try to find inaccurate content, misleading content. And when we have a look at information, it's important to say there are two kinds of bad information. We have misinformation, which is where I just made an honest mistake. And then we have disinformation, which is where I purposefully told you something or wrote something down or published something that I know isn't true. So you've got to differentiate between misinformation and disinformation. Now, the way that Climate GPT actually works is what it will do is it will have a look at a huge corpus of climate data that's being produced, and it will start producing baselines. So if you have a million research papers that say, we think that excess carbon dioxide in the Earth's atmosphere is contributing to global warming, but then you have 200,000 papers that say, we don't think that's the case, what it will do is it will create a baseline. And it will say, based on the volume of quality assessed work, the general consensus is that carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is causing global warming. So we'll then take that baseline. And once it understands what these baselines are, it can then create exceptions. And if someone publishes a new paper and they find something different, it won't necessarily discount it, but it will say, this looks like an outlier. And as an outlier, either it's accurate and it's new science that we just didn't realize was there before, and it does change everything else, or it's an outlier because there's something funny going on.
I mean, it is massively complex at this point. And if people and enterprises, and you advise enterprises as well, so give me an idea here. If you're sitting in an incumbent industry like the plastics industry, and you're wondering, should I invest in AI? Should I invest in something that represents an internal ChatGPT perhaps? Maybe make my work stream a little bit smoother? You're just starting to come to grips with AI within your organization. What's the advice you would give to the many folks sitting in some of these incumbent industries of where they should be putting their money and their focus to be future-proof for tomorrow?
So if you want to be future-proof for tomorrow, then it's not necessarily about artificial intelligence. There are some basics that you need to address first. So as we see the world moving faster and faster, as we see the pace of disruption and innovation accelerating to the point where within 7 minutes, I have a new vaccine. As an organization, you need to be able to move at speed, because when we have a look at digitized industries, increasingly they can see an opportunity and move into that opportunity quickly, maybe not at speed. But when you have a look at heavy asset industries, like the chemicals and industrial complexes that we see, it's much harder for them to actually move at speed. From a technology perspective, pretty much everyone I talk to, whether it's the venture capitalists or whether it's governments, as you say, increasingly there will only be two types of organization in the future: those that use AI and those that don't use AI and are dead. So it's not a question of if you're going to use AI within your business. it's when. So there's lots and lots of good reasons to experiment with artificial intelligence within businesses. But you do need to have a plan.
Having a plan, move at speed. Matthew Griffin, thank you so much for joining us. We loved having you on the show.
Well, thank you very much. Great to be here and speak to you soon.
Next time on Plastics Unwrapped, we're shifting sustainability into high gear with luxury car maker JLR. That's Jaguar Land Rover for those who aren't total car geeks. They're driving green innovation beyond electrification. So buckle up, we're taking a few laps around circularity and maybe even glimpsing the future of every ride. See you then.